I want to welcome everybody to this Game Changers Sunday. The last couple of weeks, we spoke about how God wants us to become game changers. And that you and I, that are the church, need to know that we are here, left by the Lord, to become game changers, or to be game changers. And God wants you to know that. And if you're here today for the first time, and you don't know God, you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you that Jesus wants to make you a game changer. Today, we're going to keep on speaking about game changers. The definition of a game changer is the following: a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. What is a game changer? It's a newly element or factor that changes a significant situation or a current situation in a significant way. That's a game changer. It's an element that been placed into a situation, a current situation, but it changes that situation in a significant way. A game changer can also be an event or an idea or a procedure that affects a significant shift in the way we are doing or thinking about stuff. So it can be an idea. And I said to you that if you are a game changer and God has made you a game changer, then I believe that God is going to download game changing ideas for you. He's going to download game changing ideas that in every situation you find yourself in, it can shift the way of doing, thinking about stuff. So a game changer can be an element. An element can be a person. An element can be anything. But I want you to know that a game changer can be a person. And I said to you that the greatest game changer that this world has ever seen and will see is a man called Jesus Christ. He was and is still the greatest game changer of all time. You see, a game changer is a newly element that gets introduced in the current situation that shifts the outcome of that situation. It's an idea that significantly shift the way we think about stuff or do something. Friends, a game changer can also be a fresh idea in a current situation to bring a significant change in that situation. A game changer changes the way that stuff is done, think of, or thought of, or made. So when you are a game changer, things are not just going to change. You are the change in that current situation. You see, Jesus was and is the greatest game changer of all time. Why can I make a statement like that? Why is it so? Why can I say that He's the greatest game changer of all time? Because Jesus stepped into an existing situation 2,000 years ago, and He came and significantly changed our situation. Jesus stepped out of heaven into our world and changed it forever in favor of His people and mankind. He did it in a very significant way. 2,000 years ago, Jesus stepped into a current situation and brought a significant change to that situation in favor of you and I. So what was the situation He stepped into? What was the situation? You find, for me to explain this, I need to take you way back to the beginning of man. In the beginning, it says in the Bible that God created the earth in 6 days, and the seventh day He rested. And then after God created everything, God created man. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 25 to 28, God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And let us give them authority and power to rule and reign this what we have created." Let us give man authority and power, and let them rule and reign and govern everything that we've created. Wow. Let us. You see, God always wanted to make Himself personal to a visible world. And He said, "Let me create something like me, and let me give that creation the power and the authority to rule over everything that I have created."
So God created man, and then God placed man in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was actually called, a spot of the presence of God. It was a perfect environment where God placed almost a, a perfect being in relationship with a perfect God. In this garden, God said to Adam, you rule and reign, you do your thing. And God was so chuffed in what he created. Every day he came in the cool of the day and he walked with Adam. He had relationship with Adam. He had communion with Adam. He talked to Adam. He looked at what Adam would call the monkeys. He looked at what Adam would call the cats. He looked at whatever Adam will call it. The Bible says that was the name. Now, if you, a cat is a cat for me. But when you go to the dictionary and you put cat, you find that there's an extremely difficult word, which just a certain amount of people in the world can really understand, that's behind a cat. Adam is the origin of that name. He gave a cat that name. He had to be an extremely clever person. I said it so many times, I believe personally that Adam and Eve had 100% brain capacity. Because it was before the fall of nature. Today, scientifically proven, man is only using 5% of their brain capacity. What went wrong? Did God create man to be stupid? No. God didn't create man to be stupid. He created man to be like God. So, Adam was in this garden. He was doing what God told him to do and made him to be. And let's pick up the story in chapter 3. In chapter 3, it says here in verse 1, the serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman, do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? Let me just park over here. You need to understand something about this garden. It's a perfect place. It's a perfect God with a perfect creation. God is having communion, fellowship, and relationship with Adam. In chapter 3, we find that the Bible starts to talk about the devil, talks about Satan in the form of a snake. And it says that the snake came to Eve. Now, God created Adam, placed him in the garden, had relationship and fellowship with him. But one day, God noticed Adam was dissatisfied. He said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, I was just wondering, how can a man be in a perfect place, in a perfect state, with a perfect relationship with God, be unsatisfied? Now, the Bible says the snake was clever, more clever than any other thing. You see, God brought the living animals to Adam and saw what he would name them. Now, I was thinking this thing through. I can imagine Satan coming to Adam when God leaves and say, hey, Adam, have you seen this? God created for everyone a babe. Didn't you see male, female? Have you noticed it? I wonder why God has not created a mate for you, Adam. Now, this is a sermon for another time. But he planted the seed of being dissatisfied with God. Got Adam to think past his relationship with God and focus on what he does not have. Ooh. If you came to church for that statement, it's enough. Shifted the focus. Got Adam to desire something more than God. So God brought forth Eve. Eve was given to Adam to help Adam in time of need. Eve was there to be his supporter. I believe that God created Eve to help Adam when Satan comes, when God leaves. So that Eve can tell Adam, don't listen to him. Don't listen to me. She was the solution, I believe, to Adam's problem. Ain't it? It's not good for man to be alone. I will give him a helper. So God gave for Adam a helper. But look at what happens over here in chapter 3. It says, and the serpent came to Eve And he said to Eve, do I understand correctly that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? You see, when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he said to them, you can eat of any tree in the garden. All their fruit is good except one. You see those two trees. The one is the tree of life and or eternal life. And the other one is the tree of good and evil. He said, you can eat of all the trees, but of the one of good and evil, you should not eat because you're going to die. Amazing. Now, let's pick up the story over here. It says, do I understand that God told you not to eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it. Don't even touch it, for you will die. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating, and realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything. She took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband, and he ate. Immediately the two of them see what's really going on, saw themselves naked. They sewed thick leaves together as a makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden. They hid from God. God called to the man, where are you? He said, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid. God said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree and yes, I ate. God said to the woman, what is it that you've done? The serpent seduced me, she said. Look at the blame shifting. And I ate. God told the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed. Cursed beyond all cattle and wild animals. Cursed to sling on your belly and eat dirt all your life. I'm declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He'll wound your head and you will wound his heel. Wow. Friends, man lost everything in that moment. God said, you can eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of good and evil, you should not eat. It's amazing that man didn't eat of the tree of eternal life, but they ate of the tree of good and evil. But clearly in the story, they did not die. So what happened over here? Man lost something that they did not know was more powerful than anything in their lives. They lost their right standing with God. They lost their relationship with God. They lost their moral high ground with God. They lost their eternal life, their eternal destination to an eternal destructive destination. Man will forever live without having a relationship with God. Man will die and join Satan where he is destined to live out all the days of his life and not to live with man, with God in heaven. Friends, man didn't die physically, but they did die spiritually. And man lost his intimate relationship with God, his maker. And forever that relationship between man and God was broken. This whole event left God heartbroken. He lost his prized creation to Satan's deceptive ways. You see, what man lost was greater than just dying. They lost their eternal life with God, their eternal destination with God, their moral high ground, a relationship with God. They lost everything. Yes, they lived, but they lived on a substandard, not on the standard that God created them to live. You see, family, man lost the ability to live with God for eternity. And a small three-letter word called sin is now separating man and his maker. Sin, a three-letter word. And sin stands for, and I'm going to give you Tabu's version, Satan in nature. Satan in nature. Now, I know the Bible says that sin is lawlessness and lawlessness is sin. But my version is Satan in nature. You understand that God created Adam and Eve with a godly nature, with a heavenly nature, with a nature to love God, a nature to love God's things, a nature for righteousness, a nature for purity, a nature for holiness. But you see, they lost that godly nature and exchanged it for sin. Means Satan in nature. Satan stepped in. Adam and Eve lost their relationship with God. They lost their right standing. And ultimately, they lost their godly nature. Friends, Satan himself has a nature. His nature is the following: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The Bible says that Satan does not come unless he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You look at the story of Adam and Eve, you find that he did exactly that. When he stepped into that situation, it was to deceive. Ultimately, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He killed their spiritual life. He destroyed their relationship with God. And he stole everything from man. The second nature is to be a taker and not a giver. He didn't come into that thing to give, but he came to take. This nature of Satan is to be unsubmissive and disobedient to God and God's ways. To live a life of pride, arrogance, and a self-centered life. In Isaiah 14:12, we find the character of Satan being prophesied or described by the prophet Isaiah. It says here in verse 12, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. You are cut down to the ground. You have weakened the nations, for you have said," look at this, "in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall brought down to Sheol, hell, to the lowest depths of the pit." Look at the nature of Satan. I will. I will. I will. The nature of Satan is actually a self-centered life. I will. I will not submit. I will do my own thing. I will rule my life. I will do exactly that what I want. It's amazing that the satanic Bible starts with "do what you want." You see, the nature of Satan is to come to kill, steal, and to destroy, to get people to live a prideful, arrogant, self-centered life, to only be a taker and not a giver. That is the nature of Satan. So what happened when he stepped into that situation, he did exactly what his nature was. And Adam and Eve, by submitting to him and not to God, they adopted that nature. So you might sit here today and say, "Yes, but it was not my fault." It doesn't matter, because now you are born into a nature like that. Satan didn't stop there. You see, sin moved further. Adam and Eve obeyed Satan. What happened? They exchanged their godly nature for a satanic fallen nature. It was still okay, friends, if Satan's nature was on the outside. But now Satan's nature became part of man's inside. You see, God wasn't worried about Satan on the outside. God was worried about Satan on the inside. He was worried. So when Adam and Eve submitted rather to Satan than to God, what happened? They became a slave of Satan. Suddenly they exchanged their godly nature for a fallen satanic nature. A nature where self-centeredness will rule their lives. Where they will kill, steal, and to destroy. And you can look all over the world where you see theft, destructive, death. That's not where God is. That is the nature of Satan in those situations. You see, this satanic fallen nature became part of man's nature on the inside. Satan's nature infected the whole creation. The Bible said sin didn't stop there. Sin moved into all nature and into all man. It moved into all the world. In Romans chapter 5, 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, this death spread to all men because all sin. The problematic thing of all this was the following. The moment Satan's nature stepped in, death followed. Satan didn't come alone. It came with death. You find the story of Adam and Eve. The moment they sinned and they took on Satan's nature, death followed. And suddenly man and creation started to die. You can't play with Satan's nature. You can't play with the wrong nature. The Bible says, as sin came through one man and spread to all, so the death came in and spread to all creation. The reason why people are dying today is because of a sinful nature. And God lost His prized possession. God said, I need to get back that which I created. God didn't create you to be a slave to sin or to Satan. God did not create you to be a slave to religion. God didn't create you to just scrap by. God created you for Him. God created you to have a relationship with Him. And He lost that relationship, that love relationship with you through what Adam and Eve did. Satan stepped in and exchanged our godly eternal salvation for a satanic fallen nature. Now you have to understand one thing. Don't listen to the lies out there telling you that when you're going to die, it's all over. It ain't over. It's only the beginning. It is only the beginning. You are not going to come back as a mahuba or a baboon or a ape or a cat. When you leave here, there's two destinations. Either with God for eternity or with God in the same place where Satan is, hell. That's the two options man has. Now, what we have in time, what you have in time, is the opportunity to change your nature before you die. When Adam and Eve died, you can study your Bible. The moment they died, the first thing that God did, he surrounded the tree of life with an angel, and He closed the garden's gate with an angel. He kicked Adam and Eve out. Why? Because He was angry? No, to protect them. Because God knew if Adam and Eve ate of the tree of life, eternal life, in that fallen nature state, then all man would be forever in the fallen nature. God closed the garden, closed the tree of life. Because God knew that if they ate of the tree of eternal life, they would be forever be in that state. And God had to change the nature of His people. God had to come in and remove Satan in nature. He had to remove Satan in our world and in your world. The sad thing above all this is, suddenly, creation started to die. It took on form of decay everywhere. And friends, you can never win by listening to Satan and his ways. You can never win in the long term by keeping to this fallen nature we have received and adopted. In Romans 3:10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. You might sit here today and you think, but you are good. Will God send a good person to hell? It's not about being good according to what you see as good. It's much more. Your nature needs to change. All man has a fallen nature, has a satanic nature. It's nature that is connected to decay and death. You can do whatever you want. You are not living. You are slowly dying. Oh, I'm living. I'm having fun. You're on death row. You can do whatever you want. Say it with me. I'm going to die. You're going to die. You can think you live as much as you want. You're going to die. So we're not really living. And the challenge is, the world wants to tell you, Satan wants to tell you, after this is it. No, my friend, you're going to live for eternity. The challenge is, where are you going to live for your eternal or eternity? And you have time today to change your nature, to get rid of Satan in your world and in your life, so that you can change the whole course of your eternal destination. He says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, family, sadly, I want to say to you, and I don't give him any credit, Satan himself was a game changer. He came and changed the game for mankind, but he didn't come and change it for good. He came to change it for evil. Satan changed the game for mankind forever. And you can sit here today and you can choose to be a game changer for good or a game changer for evil. Satan came as a game changer. He forever changed the game man was playing. Came to steal, kill, to destroy, to get man to be prideful, arrogant, self-centered. Get us to live life where we are takers and not givers. Lives where we reject God who came to die for us, to give us eternal life, to redeem us from the curse of sin and the slavery of sin and the power of sin. Get you to believe that God is against you and hates you and doesn't love you. You see, friends, you can choose to be a game changer for good or a game changer for evil. And God wants us, His church, to become game changers for good and not for evil. Satan, family, came with an idea. He came as an element. I said to you, an element can take on any form. He came as an element, as a snake. Came with an idea. And he significantly changed the game for man. What was his idea? You can be like God, he said. Now it sounds wonderful, isn't it? You can be like God. The truth is, they were already made like God. Now you can be like God. Well, that's a bargain. Eat of the fruit, I'll be like God. That's good. Good deal. But the truth was, they were already made in the image and in the likeness of God. It sounded like a great idea, but it was deceptive. It changed their game. And you have to always check the source of the great ideas in your life. Many is designed to deceive you. You're going to receive many great ideas in your life. You have to check the source of those ideas. Some of your worldly Christian friends will give you ideas and it will sound like, wow, great ideas. But it's there to deceive you. And whoever you are, you always need to check the source of the ideas that comes into your life, because Satan comes with great ideas, but not godly ideas. Check the source of your ideas, because many are designed to only to deceive you, so that you can ultimately, in the long run, lose more than what you can gain. God had to step into humanity, into this fallen nature, with a new, fresh idea, and He did it in person to change the game for man again. He shifted the way of what, how we do and believe who God is and do things. You see, friends, Jesus came with the greatest idea ever. And the best of all is, He came and did it in person. He didn't say, hey, I've got a great idea from heaven. Here is a text or an email. Yes, He sent you the word. He always gave us the word. But He said, the letter kills. It's the Spirit that gives life. So God God said, I'm losing my prized possession. And I'm losing them because they are now taking on a wrong nature. And with that nature, they can't get past the angels that's guarding the tree of life and the presence of God. They just can't get in my kingdom. So the only way they can get in is I need to step in to their current situation with a new idea and in person to shift that situation, how they believe and do things in a significant way. They came in. Jesus stepped in personally. The idea was you have to be born again. You have to be born anew. The idea was not you come to church. That we do. The idea was not for you to tell everybody you're a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Jew. The idea was for man to be born anew. You had to get a new nature. What makes Jesus and the gospel so powerful is because it changes your nature. If it hasn't changed your nature, if grace has not changed your nature, grace has not saved you. If grace has not changed your nature, grace has not saved you. Jesus came with a new idea in person to become a game changer, to shift the way you believe and do things, and to shift the game significantly for mankind. This idea was you have to be born anew. To make this idea available, he had to come in person and to die on a cross for you and I. Why is this idea so credible? Why is the source so credible? Because Jesus came to give his life for you. What makes him different from Satan is Satan came to take. To take. God comes in, Jesus steps in to give you life, eternity back. He came to lift you up, to make you lift you up, to put you on high ground, to make you his righteousness. Everything you've lost through Adam and Eve's decision, Jesus comes and give it back to you. He came to give and not to take. Man had to only receive and believe in Jesus as their Savior, and that will change the game significantly for man again. Any man that can believe and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and be born again can become a game changer. Man needed to shift the way they do things and believe in how God does things. And man will once again live for eternity with their Maker when they hang on to what Jesus did and who Jesus is. In John chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, we find a man, a very educated man of God. He was a Pharisee. The Bible says he was a ruler of his people, the Jews, meaning he knew everything about God. But clearly, through this story, I'm going to read it now, we find him coming into Jesus' living room one night. He said, Rabbi, we see that you are a teacher from God. We believe it. You see, the thing is, they couldn't do what Jesus did. And he realized, he says, but how can I do what you are doing? Now look at what Jesus said. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel what I say. You must be born again. In John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent, Jesus speaking, in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You are here today and you don't have Jesus in your life. I want to tell you that God has sent him to save you, to give you back eternal life, to connect you with a living relationship with your Maker. And whoever believes and turns to God will never perish but have eternal life. No religion can save you. No church can save you. Only Jesus can. Because God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In 1 John 3:5 it says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. In him there is no sin. That Satan in nature, that sin in our nature, Jesus was manifest to take that away. Because in him there is no place for that nature. In him there is no taking. In him there is no self-centeredness. In him there is no pride or arrogance. In him there is no of that form of nature. The Apostle Paul said the following in 1 Timothy 1. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The greatest revelation I received in my life is that I can't save myself. The greatest thing I made peace with is that I'm a sinner. Friends, let me help some of you. When somebody tells you you're a sinner and you get aggressive or angry, it is the greatest manifestation that you are one. You see, when Jesus comes into your life and he takes that nature out and he puts his God nature in, people can come to you and say, sinner, 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 and you will just love them. You won't get angry. You won't get frustrated. You won't justify yourself. You won't be prideful, because you know that Christ came in, and in him there is no sin. Christ is busy removing Satan in nature. He's removing it in your nature. He's busy removing it out of the world. And when Jesus comes back, there's going to be another step of sifting and moving Satan out of all nature. In John 8:34, it says, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And 1 John 5:11, it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in Jesus, his Son. Friends, let me ask you, who wants eternal life? It's only found in Jesus. It's only found in Jesus. But the thing is, God can't backtrack or go around his word. He placed the angels at the door of eternal life. And if you come with a fallen nature, you can't come in. Only those with a new nature can get past. Friends, giving my life into the hands of Jesus 14 years ago was the greatest game-changing moment of my whole life. Being born again and believing in Jesus was a game-changing moment for me and my life. And it shifted my life in a significant way. I want to tell you here, church, if Jesus has saved you, and you tell me that he has, and you're born again, and your life has not changed and shifted significantly, go check your salvation. 14 years ago, I had a game-changing moment with Jesus. And he changed my life significantly. It was a moment. And it changed the way I played the game called life in a whole different way. It changed my perspective from life to eternal life, from religion to relationship, from being a sinner to being a saint, from being sin conscious to righteousness conscious. That moment changed my life for eternity. And you can have that same moment here today. One moment with God and His truth can set you free forever and create such momentum and change for your life eternity, eternally, and for your eternal destination forever. One moment with God and His truth can change your whole destiny forever, your whole life forever, and bring you into eternal life and a secured eternal destination. Friends, Jesus can and will and want to step into your life as it is today and change the game for you significantly. Changing you into a game changer like Himself, giving you real and eternal life, true life. He want and He will and He can step into your life right now. What He did for me and many people around you, He can do for you. 14 years ago, I was a young man just touched by Jesus. But suddenly, I saw the whole world going to hell. And I said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something to stop this. Jesus made me a game changer. Shifted the way I played this game called life. And that's what He wants to do with you. That's what He made you to be, Christian. A churchgoer ain't the game changer. It's when you change people's lives next to you that you become a game changer. Some of you are just churchgoers. You have not become what God made you to be. Friends, you might be here today for the first time or might be coming for a while. But that person that brought you here today, they're not just any person. They are a game changer. They understand what shifts games of lives significantly. They know what it is. They are a game changer. And they will come with you to you with an idea. That idea would be receive Jesus and be born again. Today, in this moment, you can have that same encounter which I had 14 years ago with Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, verse 9, Jesus said the following, today salvation has come to this house because He is also a son of Abraham, a son of faith. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Church, God wants to use you to change the game for other people. God doesn't want us just to be churchgoers. God wants us to really change other people's lives. And my friend, if you are here today for the very first time, you've never heard about Jesus, I want to tell you the important thing about Jesus. Jesus came to change your nature. Jesus came to give you a new nature so that you can spend eternity with your loving Creator. Listen, when you study the book of Genesis, you won't find that Adam and Eve worshiped God. They didn't worship God. The Bible said they had communion with God. They had relationship with God. You see, so many of us are worshiping without relationship. You were not created only to worship. Worship is to put your focus back on Him. More important is relationship. Because you can worship without relationship. Man was created. You were created to have a relationship with God. You are here today because God in heaven is crying out to you and say, don't look at religion. Don't look at false religions. Listen, I have come to change your nature. Satan is in your nature and he's giving you a decay and falling nature. And I have come and stepped into your current situation personally to change it significantly so that your nature can change. And only if you have a changed nature will you be able to get into the kingdom of God. I'm going to say it again. If you are saved by grace,
grace saves you from a fallen nature. Today you are here and you say, Thabo, I don't have the assurance of eternal life. I had to make peace with that. Listen to me. Don't fall asleep right now. I had to confront that thing because it was a hard truth. I knew. I was brought up in a religion my whole life. I went to church every Sunday of my life. I never knew Jesus as Savior. After I got saved, after I got saved or recommitted to God, God showed me at the age of 7, I got born again, born anew. But nobody ever told me I had to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit to get me further in the process. 20 years later, God touched my life again. First thing He said to me, get yourself baptized. Get through the water. Today I understand that God can't go against His word. If He has closed eternity with Him for a fallen nature, He can't allow nobody with a fallen nature in that, what we all desire. So God had to come and first change your nature. That is the difference between Jesus and every other religion. He came for you, to die for you, to change your nature so that you can become again just like Him. And the ultimate goal is for you to have a loving relationship with your Creator. You might be here today and say, Thabo, I'm really honest, I don't have that. Hey, that's good news. It's a good place to be. Because if you just hear what I'm saying, in this moment, Jesus can do what He did for me 14 years ago, for you. Maybe you say, Thabo, I do not have assurance of eternal life. If I'm just honest, well, I've got good news. Good news. In this moment, the greatest gift Jesus wants to give you is eternal life. And the secure mind that you have it. The knowing that He loves you. Today, salvation has come to this house. Jesus is calling you and say, come, let me change you. Because you've been trying to change, but you can't. For years, every night I went to bed in fear that if I die, where I will go. I knew that I knew. I always got offended and angry when people said to me, you need to change your life. You need to go for Jesus. Jesus needs to save you. Live for Jesus. I always got angry. And I wanted to, because I was never born again. I wanted to change, but I could not change. Let that not be your life. Because salvation has come to your life today. God wants to make you a game changer. And God wants you to use you to change the game of so many millions and even billions of people that do not really know why Jesus came. To remove Satan out of your nature. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You that You are our God, that You love us so much. That 2,000 years ago, You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die for us. Come to live an unselfish life. To show us what it means to be part of You. To give. To add life. To produce life, forgiveness, grace, mercy. And thank You that I know that You are here today, and that You are speaking to hearts and minds. Lord, You don't want us to live life without the assurance that You are with us. Thank You that You came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I'm thankful that You are here right now as well to give eternal life and forgiveness and acceptance and grace to whoever can believe today. Right now in this moment, Father, I pray that You will give so many
people here today that know that they are not right with you, the courage to say yes to Jesus. To grab to this life-transforming idea to be born again. And if you are here today or under my voice and you say, Thabo, that's me. If I'm honest, I know that my life is not right with God. I do not have the assurance of eternal life. Maybe you are here and I can ask you this question. If you die today, where will you spend for eternity? And if it's you that I'm talking about and you say, that's me, Thabo. I just know I don't have a relationship with God. I know that I'm not right with God, but I want to be right with Him. Then while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I want to ask you, can I please pray with you? Because before we go, I want to know that you know that your life is for eternity in the hands of God. And while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed and you say, that's me, I want you to quietly just slip up your hand and show me once. Just show me if I can pray with you. Because before I go, I want to pray with you. Just put your hand up high. Say, Thabo, here I am. Thank you, thank you. Amen. I want you to all look at me. You know what? This is the greatest day of your life. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. I want to put you at ease. No one, no man can get you to do this. Only the Spirit of God can get you to come to Jesus. And right now, all I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce you to Him through a simple prayer. You need to pray this prayer, make up your mind to follow Him, and your whole life is going to change. And if God can use me, God's going to use you. And that's what He wants to do, to help other people change their nature. Amen. I want you to put your hand on your heart. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to pray this out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today and I ask for forgiveness. I receive it. And I thank you that I know that you love me, that you care about me. Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that He died for me so that I can have and receive eternal life. Thank you for that. Use me in your kingdom for your glory from today forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.